So, okay, I just wanted to share one thing about Pastor Mahanty before we go any further. No, I really need the musos to come back up. Are they going to be long, do you think? Are they down there making tea and all that? Daniel's here. Daniel's here. Then I'll tell the story. But I really do want people to hear this story. Ah, hallelujah. Okay, Pastor Mahanty, do you know what year we all met? Do you know what year it was? 99? Sounds about right, Mike. So apparently, Pastor Mahanty and I and Pastor Ernie, we're all in the down at the campground in Virginia, which is when we met. And the reason these two men linked up so quickly was the fact that both of their ministries actually had the same name. The church the Pastor Ernie planted was called Christian Life Center, and his ministry is called Christian Life Center, and Pastor Ernie's ministry now, his apostolic network is called Christian Life International. So there was some kind of, okay, and I knew that Pastor Mahanty, did you see him in a dream or something, or you knew that this guy was anyway? So they began to work together, and I've not visited Pastor Mahanty yet. I probably will visit him sometime next year or thereabouts. I'm going to do the quick version of who he is, because I don't want him to come here to preach a lot. I want him to come and tell you some stories. I want him to share with you what we don't understand about serving God sacrificially. And even I don't. So, you know, this is not like us poor folks don't know what we're talking about here. So, but this is a story I'm going to share with you. Wednesday evening, you know, Wednesday, I went down to Yonkers and dropped Pastor Ifyaluf and came back with Pastor Mahanty. It was a great privilege. I didn't know he was there, so it was a great thing to spend 2 hours, 3 hours with Pastor Ifyaluf, and then he jumps in the car. We spent two or three hours coming back, and then he's in my house drinking tea. Then I took him up to Pastor Ifyaluf's. That is a way that you really can get to know someone. That's, I think, how Pastor Ernie and I got to know each other so well, was we spent hundreds and hundreds of hours in a car, didn't we, doing something, going somewhere, even if it was just the dry cleaners, is the way I put it. But then when I got in Pastor Drone's office, I sat down and we did the niceties, hey, how you, hey, all that stuff. You know, thank God we can get over that quickly. And so Jerome and his users, so how the babies, brother? You know, and I thought, why does he always call big kids babies? You know, I'm thinking, this guy's older than me. He's asking him how his babies are. I'm thinking his babies are probably 30-something, you know. But Jerome was being literal. That he has two adopted babies, one 3 years old, one 2 years, 9 months old. He's got four of his own children by his wife and then these two adopted babies. So then I heard the story. Are we all paying attention? He was given one child when they were 4 hours old. Went to the hospital, one of your elders or something, he's a doctor there in the hospital. He went there and they gave him this baby. This baby was 4 hours old. The thing that got me was he said, hadn't even been washed yet. Took the baby home and washed the baby at home. And that's, then 3 months later, he went back to that hospital and was given a baby 6 hours old. Hadn't been washed yet. You mothers know what I'm talking about. And then those two babies are still in his house. One's now three, and the other one's 2 years, 9 months. And I'm talking about him. He's 61 years old. And at 58, he took on two babies. The thing that got me was afterwards I said to him, so do you figure out the paperwork afterwards? He said, there's no paperwork. You just walk out of a hospital with a baby that hasn't been washed yet. You don't know who its mother was. You don't know why she abandoned the baby. You know nothing about that child, the father's child, and you just adopt that child. You see, if that happened in America, that would leave a scar so deep inside of us that we'd want inner healing for the rest of our lives. In Africa and India, it's called welcome to life. Handle it. And so then this man, I'm going to tell a couple of stories before you do so you can tell the stories I haven't heard. Now this man lives with his wife and six children, and above him is his school, above him is the orphanage. And so this man has four orphanages, 225 orphans. Listen again, 225 orphans. His school, we're not going to see the pictures tonight. He has some photographs, you can see them later. And so he's planted 50 churches. Somebody say 50 churches. That's a lot of churches, even so some of them are little village churches. We understand what Indian village churches are like. So he's planted 50 churches, got four orphanages, got four children, two adopted babies. And at night, in his compound, when you go to these countries, most churches and orphanages have compounds. They have high walls and locked gates. He allows all of the Indian beggars off the street to come and sleep on the floor inside his compound. Not undercover, just in the compound, so they'll be safe. And at night, in the morning, he unlocks the gate and lets them out again to go and beg. He can't feed them yet because he's busy feeding his school and his orphanage. Is anybody listening to me? Now, I'm saying that because we need to understand who's in our midst. He may not got it across. You know, I just wanted to share this with you because to me, this is a life. I have no idea how to live that life. I have no idea how to do that. I don't think I have the courage. I have the faith. I don't think I've been introduced to the sacrificial life that Jesus Christ died for, that he gave me as a gift, and I haven't utilized it. Someone picking up what this is going on in my own heart after 30 years in the ministry. I'm challenged deeply again by sacrifice. Deeply. Jesus wasn't just our sacrificial offering, which he was, and my complete redemption, which he is, hallelujah. He is also my example. No greater love has any man than this. He walks out of a hospital with a four-hour-old baby. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. I'm really struggling with this, guys. You need to pray for me. I'm struggling with this. To think that a man at 58 can say that I will take this abandoned baby into my life and raise him like my own man. You know, I mean, maybe I'm just being emotional, but I tell you, something's going on in my life, and I've got to get involved with this gospel. I have got to keep ministering the life of Jesus Christ, man. And I want to tell you how it starts. I've had such an exciting week, you know, ministering to people, preaching to people, witnessing to people on the streets. You know, four of us go down to Yonkers I take Ephiel down and Mahanti up and then Pastor Bob Alardi. I've known him longer than I've known you. And we all go out to lunch. And we parked the car, and I have to park the car tight because there was a van here. And I thought, if I don't get this tight, they're not going to get out easy. And I'm squeezing him with my big Mercury, and I'm going, that should be tight enough. And then I hear, thank you. You know, the lady who's driving the van just walks up. And I said, oh, you're welcome, her and her daughter. And daughter was blind, and the next thing, I'm helping them in the van and all that, and I'm just going, so how are things with you and Jesus then? Oh, praise the Lord, brother. I thought, ah, I got another couple of believers here, but it's such a refreshing thing to begin to get to speak to people in the streets. And on the way down to Ethiopia, then what happened is, I blessed them, and we had a, pray for me, brother, amen, sis. And, you know, I went up the steps of the diner, and there's this waitress, just a... You know the way to do it. It's the dumbest thing in the world, smoking anyway. So she said, well, I said, so how are things with you and Jesus? You know, I'm on a roll now. Get out of my way. I'm this Jesus steamroller, you know. And she's looking nervously over her shoulder. And so she turns out to be a Russian Orthodox. But check this out. On the way to Yonkers, when we're in Yonkers, we go past the church. I said, oh, that's an Orthodox church. I said, they're stinking tough, them Orthodox people. And then I go and get one, you know. And I just want to encourage you. I wish I'd said, they're real easy to lead to the Lord. Even if you've only got 30 seconds in a smoke break, you can still go. But I didn't. But I'm just saying this because it's a wonderful thing. Then we broke down. One of my daughter's cars broke down in Newport. So, of course, resource king here with the AAA card goes down to help, you know, get the tow truck. And while he's backing in, young fella, he gets card policing. Where are you going? Where's it taking? Okay, thank you very much. Give the keys. I said, so how things were you and Jesus? I said, you know Jesus? He said, well, kind of. I said, what do you mean kind of? You know, and you think, I'm standing there. Do you ever talk in your own mind so quick? You go, I wonder what he's thinking right now. Here I am saying, what do you mean kind of? You know, I'm like... And then, well, my mom and dad and this and that. I said, oh, and I'm starting to witness to him. And the next thing I said, I reach into the tow truck and grab him. You know this. And I'm not advising any of you to do this. You need to be 6'4" to do this, all right? But I reach in and grab him and say, yeah, but what about you? Never mind your mom and dad. What about? And I'm shaking this guy and he's rocking like this. Anyway, I don't care. Whatever it takes. I've gone crazy for Jesus, hallelujah. And I just want to encourage you because it's an awesome thing. It is so awesome. And you know what the God showed me this morning while I was brushing my teeth? Return to me the joy of my salvation. And the joy of my salvation comes back when I share that salvation with somebody else. And as I share salvation, my joy comes back. Oh, man, I so much enjoyed that. I nearly poked my eye out with my toothbrush. Last story. I shouldn't be doing this, but I was supposed to preach tonight. And you may not all know that I had some hernia repair last week or the week before, whatever it was. So I went to the doctor and the surgeon for the post-op, right? So I'm walking out the door. What he was supposed to do was cut this lump out of my arm. There was just a fatty tissue, big lump. I've had it there about 40 years, ever since I can remember, right here. So he was supposed to do it during the operation, which was a good idea. You can do anything to me, like most Christians. Anyway, probably shouldn't have said that. It's Saturday. I say anything I want on Saturday. So as I'm walking out the door, he didn't do it because apparently I didn't sign for it. That's why. Not that he didn't mind, but I'm walking out the door of my house to do to just go see him so he can remove the stitches. And as I'm just about to walk out the door, Wendy says, oh, by the way, he can cut that lump out of your arm today. And I don't know about you guys or anybody else. How's everybody when it comes to people sticking needles and things in your arm? Pretty good with that? You know, blood tests. Oh, you know what? I love the word, though. It's going to pinch. Pinch? That ain't pinch. That stinking hurts. And, you know, sticking needles. I don't know about you, but I wasn't like all that. I've not fainted ever, but I've gone dizzy more than once, mate. I mean, like, oh God, what's happened? Somebody hold this room. And so I'm walking out the door. Now, the thing is, guys, listen to it. The challenge is my wife wants me to do it. Guys, I haven't been married long enough to know what I'm talking about. Anyway, and right there and then, all those fears that I've ever had about blood and everything else, right there and then I went, okay. And I made a decision about that fear. And it's gone. I went to the hospital, to the doctor. The doctor walked in like this. I said, what's up with you? Been playing rugby or something? He said, I've had a bad day. Shut up. You know, this guy's whacked out. He's crazy. I love him. And so he says, so I just pick up my shirt. Yeah, thank God we don't need sermon illustrations like that. And so he grabs the scissors. And while he's saying, oh, yeah, it looks all right, clip. Snip. I mean, it's not sit down, lie back. Didn't have gloves on, nothing, man. Just cutting the stitches out of me, pulling them out with his bare hands. Sorry if this is like not your favorite subject, but maybe you need to deal with your fears as well. I'm not sure. But then, so he said, oh, that's all right, mate. Yeah, go on, I'll see you. And he's about to walk out. I said, what, remember that lump on my arm? He said, oh, yeah, we can deal with that sometime or today. I don't care what. I said, well, how about now? He said, sure. He said, sit down, lie down. And he, you know, and he starts talking. I don't know what we're talking about. When he was in Scotland and it was some guy with open heart surgery woke up in the middle and he died and he had to paddle him while his heart was open and he was still awake and go, boom, oh, hey, laddie, that was a bit tough, man. And this guy's talking to him. Anyway, it's not the point. So we're going through this conversation, sticking needles in me. And then he's got the scalpel, and I don't guess you want all the details. But I promise you, I was so afraid of that stuff. Not an ounce. I'm only saying that because I'm just celebrating in the fact that God is helping me to face my fears. He's helping me to face my fears. And it's because I want to be saved to the uttermost. I think that's my point. I want to be saved to the uttermost. I don't want to mess around halfway. Oh, yeah, he's pretty good. Oh, he's not a bad boy. Oh, yeah, he's. Yeah, I don't want any of that anymore, man. I want to go for it. I want to go for it for Jesus, man. I don't want to take as much of you with me as I can. I help you on your way. So praise God. That's my spiel. I want you to preach tonight. But I am so thankful you're here, my brother. Remember, there's a couple of things I don't understand. I don't understand cricket. I really don't understand curry. They think they do, but not really. So those subjects leave out, otherwise they won't get it. Pastor Mahanti speaks five languages. And remember, that's probably about four more than most of us here, right? And plus tongues, so that's his sixth. So I'd like to remind you that English is not his first language. So let's pay attention. Let's hear this man share the word of life. And let's just stand a minute. Let's give thanks to God for his servant tonight. Can you say amen?
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be at this place. And I'm grateful to Pastor Ernest Fink, apostle and a great man of God, and also his wife Nancy, such a beautiful people, because of their love, and they are such nice to me, so I come here. And I spent a few days with him, and also it's a good relationship. I would like to come and spend some time with him. And, you know, nice. And also I met Pastor Wayne many, many years back. Then also once or twice we went to his house. We came to your house also, along with you. Yes. Yeah. So, and I'm so grateful he brought me all the way from New York, Yonkers to Hudson. And we were talking on the way. And we remembered some of the things. And so he has a plan to come to India. And, you know, Pastor Ernest Fink told me that he's a man with a vision for the worlds. No, he has a concern for the nations. So also, he has done a lot of work in Africa and other countries. And also in India, he is coming. So we were talking about the culture and all the things, and I invited if he has time to visit us also, because he has to pass through our city where he is going to travel. So that's a good city. Anybody, you all also can come and visit us. Yeah. The name of the city is called Visakhapatnam. Yeah, Visakhapatnam. So remember that, that's right on the east coast on the Indian Ocean, and that's a beautiful city. So, and while I was with Pastor Ernest, he told me he wanted to fix me with some teaching engagements sometimes. And today, actually, we have to go to some place, but somehow it did not work out. And immediately, Dr. Ernest thought, oh, why don't we go to Pastor Vaughn's place? He has a Sunday service, a Saturday service. And actually, I like to spend some time with the children of God. I come here every year to raise the support and funds for the children's home, for the pastors, and for different needs. But I don't care whether people give or not, but my primary thing is to share something about God with the children of God. If my testimony, if the word what God has given me, if that is a blessing to people, that's enough. Then let people give me money or no money, I don't care. Because it's God's work, God is taking care of that. And so I'm so happy to come to this place to share something about the Lord. And I'm grateful to you, Pastor, that you have allowed me to come to this place. We traveled together, but I never asked Pastor that I would like to come, or he never invited me. We were, you know, we don't know much, but there is a time that God has appointed this time so that I can come and share. There is somebody whom God is going to touch today. Amen. It's not an accidental thing. You know, the message from India, he needs a message from India, from the person from India, that he can be touched. So that's what I know. And I know it is the ordained time of the Lord, and I know it is God's way to meet so many people. So today I would like to share my testimony, but before that I would like to share a few things from the Bible. You know, when I came to the Lord for the first time, one of my friends led me to the Lord. And I came to the Lord while I was praying at night 1:30. The fire of God came on me, and all my sins were taken away on that particular night, and a great joy of salvation was flowing in me. I wanted to shout, I wanted to run, I wanted to jump, and a great, you know, change, transformation has taken into my life. And since that time, I had a great fire in my life to share about the Word of God with different people, whoever comes across me. I was a banker at that time, so I started to tell to people, whoever, if I have a chance to talk about Christ. So I went to for the first time, I went to a Baptist church in that area. And there were some young people outside, they were moving out, walking out. I called one boy and I told him that God has done something in my life. And immediately he said, oh, I heard such things. Sir, we have to go for evangelism. So I was on fire, you know. So I wanted to share something about Christ to everybody. So We used to hire about 15 to 20 bicycles. There were about 20 young boys who are unemployed. And so they are free, and they all came to me. They know singing of the songs, and they know banging the tambourines. And so I used to hire 20 bicycles and some Petromax lights. And we used to go after the bank hours. I used to come back. And we used to go on the bicycles to different villages, about 5 miles, 7 miles, 10 miles distance, and stand on the street corners and bang the tambourines and sing the songs. And those village folks, they used to come back to their homes, and they used to stand. And we on the streets or on the street corners, we used to preach. I started to preach the love of Lord Jesus Christ. By the time I started, you know, the fire is there to share about Christ. But I never had been to a Bible college. I never even studied 10 chapters from the Old Testament and 10 chapters from the New Testament. And I don't know about Paul and Peter and, Matthew and all these people. I know only one man, that is Jesus Christ. I don't know about all these people. So I started to preach. And I never had been to, even to a big conferences and all that by that time. So I don't know how to start the message and how to close the message. So I sometimes start the message and I don't know how to close that. And my friends went all the way behind and they stand there and they wave their hands like this. Stop it, stop it. Okay. Then I know I have to close my message. So that's how this life started in Lord Jesus Christ. So today I'm not going to prolong so much. Nobody needed to wave their hands. That's what I'm reminding you. I'll take care of the hands. And if it is too long, you can wave the hands and I'll close it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, I am reading a few verses from the book of Mark chapter 6. From the book of Mark chapter 6. From the book of Mark chapter 5. It says like this. Jesus, one time he went to a place and healed a lunatic. You all know that. He has completely healed the lunatic. And then a great miracle happened and he was healed. But the people in the city said to Jesus to go away from the city. And so Jesus left that place. So that is what in book of Mark chapter 5 we see. The lunatic had been healed completely and all that story. Then what happened? I would like to read a few verses from the book of Mark chapter 5 and then we go. When Jesus had again, in verses 21. Book of Mark chapter 5 and verses 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there seeing Jesus. He fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She has suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped and she left in her body that she was freed from her suffering. This is what the things happened 2,000 years ago. There was a man and nobody able to control him. He became an antisocial element and his parents and his relatives tried to chain him, his hands and legs, but he has broken the chains And he used to go to the streets and he used to make a lot of mess. You know, he is addicted to so many things of this world, and nobody could control him. Even the police or the some of the people who do the welfare thing, they could not able to control him. The relatives and the elders came and tried to advise him, but he was out of control. All the time he was making a big mess and he was creating problem in the society. He was addicted to so many things. You know, many people get addicted to so many things and they are unable to get rid of the addictions. So that's what happened. Many times they tried to put his chains, but he was so strong, he was breaking the chains and going away. Not only that, he was completely possessed by the demonic powers. So finally the people in that town thought that he has become an antisocial element. The women of the society are being scared of him. He was walking naked into the streets. He was a terrible headache to the society. And finally they have thrown him away, driven him away from the town. So he don't have a place. He went to the place, tombs and the graveyards, and he lived in the graveyards. Day and night he was scratching his body, wounding his own body, and shouting, and also grumbling all the time, cursing the people. You know, that he was completely possessed by the demonic powers, and he was shouting, "Who will deliver me from these powers of darkness?" He has no peace, he has no hope. He was a hopeless man. He has been rejected by the society. He has been rejected by the family, parents, and he has no hope in his life. The demonic power, the devil, the Satan, it has conquered him completely. He was being addicted to so many things of this world. So in such condition, day and night, no peace in his life. So what happened? One day, Jesus Christ has come, crossed the shore, and he came there, and instead of going into the city, he straight away from the shore, he walked into the graveyards. You know, in India, we believe that in the graveyards, the devils will live, the demonic power, the witches go into the graveyard in the nights and do all the magical things. They call the spirits. In India, if you see some of the people called ghetto, something like that, they go and if they find the dead body or the flesh of a dead body, they eat the dead body flesh. They are completely demon possessed. The devils, they worship the devils. So this man was in the graveyard, in the tombs. And Jesus Christ has come to that city in the morning. And instead of going into the city, he straight away walked to the place where this man was tormented by the demonic powers day and night. You know, if I am in the place of Jesus Christ, I would have gone to the city, go to a house like Pastor Ernest or Pastor Juan and take a good shower and have a good coffee, breakfast, then think of the business. But Jesus is a different man. He straight away walks to the place where this man is being tormented, and he touched him and healed him, and all the demons in him have been driven away from him. And he was completely healed, the word has gone to the town that the demon-possessed lunatic man has been completely healed. And all the people came to the place and wanted to see what happened. There was Jesus sitting there, and this lunatic was also sitting at the feet of Jesus, well-dressed. He never was well-dressed. You know, when you go through the story, you will see that. He became completely transformed and sitting at the feet of Lord Jesus Christ. And these people saw him and they were amazed. And also they were scared. And they said to Jesus, Lord Jesus, go away from this place. Don't stay here. We don't want you. You know, Jesus is such a gentleman. He only if we open the heart, he will come. He is standing at the door of the heart and not knocking the doors. He won't break the door and come inside. So the people of the city said, go away. And he was about to go. We can see that, you know, he was about to leave that place. And what happened? You see, I just read one or two verses here. Verses 18, from the book of Mark chapter 5 and verses 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much he has mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So what happened? Jesus wanted to go away because people didn't want. And he was about to go into the boat, and this man who was completely healed came to Jesus and said like this, Lord, I want to come with you. You have healed my body. You have healed me from the demonic powers. You have released me from the bondages. And you made me a man. And I want to follow you. You know these people in the town. They know how much terrible person I am. In spite of knowing that you did something in my life, they are rejecting you. So, I don't want to stay in this city and I will come with you. Might be he must have said like that. Lord, you have saved my life. You have given me good. You have made me a good man. Now I want to become your disciple. Wherever you go, I will come with you. Wherever you want me to sit, I will sit there. I will come and cook your food. I will carry your baggages. I will massage you when you are tired. And I will help you all the ways. So take me with you. If I am in the place of Jesus, I would be the happiest person in the world. I want somebody to give me good massage all the time. But, you know, Jesus did not want him to come with him. He said, Jesus Christ said, you go into the town, live in the place where you are living, and let the people see what God has done in your life. Give a message to the people that there is a God who can transform the people. And also, tell the people what God has done in your life. Jesus did not tell this man to go and give big sermons or give some doctrinal things, but said, go into the city and tell the people what God has done in your life. So he used to go in the city. He was now well-dressed. He is going for work. His life has been transformed. He earns money and he helps some of the people in the village and town. So the people were amazed. What a great transformation. And people are watching him. And finally, there are so many needs in the city. So somebody came to him and they asked, maybe, you know, the woman who had the issue of blood, she was suffering since last 12 years. And she lost everything. And watching this young man, and she thought, how could this fellow who was a lunatic, demon-possessed, now he is so fine, he is so nice, and he is a gentleman now, helping everybody. Let me talk with him. And one day, might be she has called him and asked him like this, who is the doctor that has treated you? I went to so many doctors and still I have this problem. Tell me, who is the doctor? This man said like this, no, I don't know that doctor. I know one man. One time I was being rejected by the society. I was tormented by demonic powers. I have no peace in my heart. I have no hope in my life. I was hopelessly day and night. I was cursing people, cursing God, and living in the tombs. But the Son of God has traveled all the way. And he came and he touched me. He saved me. He cleansed me. He took away all my diseases. He has the demonic powers have bounded me with their. I was under the bondage, and he has broken all the bondages of the devil. And I was being released, and I was being made whole. He is Lord Jesus Christ. My mother has rejected me. My father has rejected, but he loved me. He loved and came to me and touched me. What a wonderful story. So a great hope has arisen in the life of this woman who had this issue of blood. I want to share some of the things what happened in my church. You know, one of my friends led me to Christ. I was a banker at one time. I wanted to die at the age of 50. You know, at the age of 50, why I wanted to die? I don't want to live after 50 like a old man and suffer all the problems. So I want to live, enjoy the things of the world and suddenly die at 50. So that was when I was in sin, I was thinking like that. I was full of filth of this world. But my friend, one day, I wanted to visit my aunt. Actually, he is my aunt's son. And that fellow became a Christian. And when I went and knocked the door, my aunt was not there, but this fellow is at home. And when I saw him, oh, I thought I should go back. But he came forward and he caught hold of my hand and requested me to come inside. So I went with him to inside. And he started to talk like this. You see, your life and my life were the same. But now there is a great transformation in my life. Why don't you go for a change in your life? You know, and I want change in my life. I want to live. I want to live good and I want to live holy. I try to live holy, but I try to live. But even for 1 hour, I could not live holy and good. I know my sight is wrong. I know my thinking is wrong. And I tried and I failed. So I thought it's impossible to live a holy life. So my friend, he said, why don't you go for a change? I said, you Christians talk like that. Today confess your sins. Tomorrow I live in sin. What the use of confessing my sins? But he said, no, not that. A sick man needs a doctor. A sinner needs a helper who can come and lift him from the sinful life and put him on the right way. And Jesus Christ has come to this world to help the sinners. And why don't you take the help of Lord Jesus Christ? That sounded good. I have so many doubts. I told you I was full of the filth of this world. But he said, Jesus will come into your life and he will change your mind and transform you and give you the strength to live a holy life. So it's not by your strength and not by your power, but he will come and he will live in you and he will give you the strength to live a good life. So it sounded good. And so I went to the. He told me the story of Jesus. And he told that Jesus, in spite of rejection, in spite of persecution, in spite of all that, Jesus still loves me. That touched my heart. How could Jesus love me? So I wanted Jesus. And he told me to read the Old Testament in the morning time and the New Testament in the night time. I went to the market, bought the Bible, and went home, and I started to read the Bible. I consider, you know, in India we consider this to be a holy book because of our culture. We don't want to smoke and read and smoke and read like this. So I opened the Bible, read a little. I have to smoke, you know. I was a smoker. So I go there, smoke, and come back, read, sit down, kneel, look unto the Lord. Father, come into my life and change my life. And when I started to ask God to come into my life, I was convicted that I was a great sinner. The great burden of sin was on me. I never knew that I was a great sinner before that. I thought that I am enjoying the life. But I realized that I was a great sinner. And so I was weeping and crying out to the Lord and asking him to come into my life. Nothing happened. I thought God is not going to forgive me because I am a great sinner. So I knelt down. It was evening, 5 o'clock. I said to the Lord, Father, maybe I am a great sinner and you don't want to forgive me. It's okay. If you don't want to forgive me, it's okay. But for me, weeping and crying here is not good. It is better for me to go and live in the sin rather than weeping and crying here. And when I said like that, I saw a vision. And in the vision, I saw a old man from a long, long distance. I was coming out of the hell and I was singing the song. And a old man from a long, long distance, he was hearing my song happily. I was walking on the road and suddenly there were trees on both sides, the jungle. And I heard a voice from the woods. It was telling me, you are coming out of the hell and why are you praising the Lord? I said without my knowledge, whether I come out of the hell or heaven, he is the only one to be praised. And I immediately came back to my senses. And that gave me strength to pray unto the Lord. Again, I started to pray and weeping and asking the Lord only one thing. Father, come into my life. Change my life. Lord Jesus, wash me in your blood. Forgive my sins. That's what I was asking. And it was night 1:30. The fire of the Lord fall on me. Literally I was burned down. And all my sins on that particular night were taken away. Not one sin in my life. A great joy was flowing in my life. Hallelujah. I told you. I wanted to shout and run and jump. You know. After that many times I fall. I fall. I thought that it's impossible to live a Christian life. But you know, I fall in the hand of the Lord. I did not fall away. He is a strong one. So many times I fall, but he put me, lifted me up. Made me up and he made me a pastor. You know, a great transformation. So after that, when after some time, I started the church. God asked me to resign the job, resigned, and started a church. There's so many problems, losing a job and all that. But I started a church. When I started a church, in the beginning, only two women started to come. For 2 weeks, nobody came, but third week. So I was so happy. And when I preach, in those days, you know, I was a young man. I used to preach like Billy Graham, T.L. Osborne, or, you know, that great evangelist. I shout, Jesus is a great God. He loves you. He cares for you. He takes away all the pain and all that. You know, so it was a small church. There were, in India, the women sit separate and the men sit separately. There were 6 women on this side and 6 men on this side. One day I was preaching like great man, you know. I thought I was a great preacher of the world. And suddenly one man fall in the on the ground. And he was pushing his hands and legs powerfully. And all the five men came and they tried to push him down. But he was so powerfully pushing the hands. And so these six women, they sat there and they were looking at me. You know, they were looking like this. You are talking big talkings. Do something. So I have to do something or I'm going to lose my church. So I thought, and from the pulpit, I straight away walked to him. I laid my hands on him and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you demonic powers, you powers of darkness, you have no authority on the child of God. I said, you, whatever the disease may be, whatever the problem may be, in the name of Jesus, go. And I said, I know his name, Adisheshu. So I told Adisheshu, get up. And that fellow got up. And I was surprised. You know, I was surprised. But these six ladies, they are still watching me. And so I put a long face as if I know everything, came back and preached the sermon and sent everybody. Then called this fellow, Adisheshu. I asked him, Adisheshu, you are fallen on the ground, but when I came and I prayed over you and I said, Adisheshu, get up, how could you get up? And he told me, oh, Pastor, on Friday afternoon I was walking through that particular street and somebody slapped me from behind. And since that day, I don't know where I am walking, where I am moving, until the time you called me. You know, there is such a tremendous power in the name of Jesus Christ. Which we, even though I was a preacher, I never knew that. Hallelujah. I know the name of Lord. God healed me. God saved me. God answered some of the prayers. But when I went and prayed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and when he got up, I was shocked. Oh, what happened? You know, hallelujah. You know, every knee has to bow and every tongue has to say that he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Hallelujah. So that's how when the things started to happen and people started to come with their needs and I started to pray and I saw God working with them, God answering the prayers. So my faith started to build up. One after the other, when I see the things in my eyes, when I pray and when God answers, my faith started to build up. So that's all. About this, there is a woman in our church. I share some of the experiences. The woman was Khadir Bibi. She was a Muslim lady. She went to the hospital. I was not knowing all that. One day what happened, she started to come to the church. And one year passed. And I could not able to visit her throughout the year. But one day I went to her house just to pay a visit. And whenever I go to somebody's house in India, I read the Bible, few scripture verses. Then I pray and bless the home. So on that particular day, I took the verses about the issue, that woman who was suffering with the issue of blood. And when I read that, this woman, she became a Christian by that time, she said, oh, Pastor, I know about it. I asked, how do you know about it? Pastor, whenever I used to sit, my clothes used to wet. All the time I have that problem, I had that disease. I went to the hospital for operation. I was admitted in the hospital and the papers were signed. But the doctor said, you will die if you are not operated. But also, even after the operation also, there is no guarantee that you will survive. So doctor said like that. Then she started to think, even after operation, if there is no guarantee that I will survive, why should I undergo operation? And she heard that we are having our meeting. Somebody. We are having our meetings in our church. So she left her things in the hospital room, straight away walked all the way to the church, and she was in the church for 3 days in the meetings. And after the third day, we give an invitation for the people to come and take baptism if they believe in Christ. So there were some people came for baptism, and she also was in the line, and we baptized. And she went back to home, and she never knew when she was healed. You see, in the presence of the Lord, there is healing. When you hear the word of God, God will heal you. It's not me. I'll tell you one more thing. You know, one day, you know, about this issue of blood, same issue. She's a Muslim, came and she was gone. One day, we have communities in India, barber community. They cut the hair, you know, they do. We have communities, the goldsmith, blacksmith. We have so many communities. So, one day, the barber who gives me my haircut, his wife came in early morning around by 6 o'clock. And knocked the door in the morning. And so I opened and she is there. And I know that them. She said, Pastor, I lost my water buffalo since last 3 days. You know, water buffalo, we get milk out of the water buffalo and sell in the market. That makes us people, poor people's livelihood. So they have to get the water buffalo's milk and sell it to somebody. So she said, Pastor, since last 3 days, I lost my water buffalo and I don't know. Tell me where is that? I thought, how can I tell where is that water buffalo? It went out. It went away. And, you know, they are Hindu people. They think that, you know, because in the community they know that when pastor prays, God answers the prayers. So they think like black magic or some magician, I do something and this is the buffalo. I say, how can I say? I don't know. I told that, okay, did you search there? She said, oh yes, last 3 days we are walking here and there, we searched here and there. Did you try there? I tried to push her away, but she was not leaving me. She was asking, tell me where is my water buffalo? She, no, she has get confidence on the man of God. I don't have my confidence. I don't know what to do. So I said, I turned my face like this, put my hand like this, go straight and you will find your water buffalo. And that woman went. She went about 3-4 miles and there is a small village and two people were coming out of the village. And she asked, I lost my water buffalo. Did you find any water buffalo? And those two men said, we came here to buy a water buffalo. They're inside. You can go and see whether, you know, they were telling it at that time. She wanted to sell that at 4,000 rupees. And we asked for 3,900 rupees. The negotiation did not work out. So we are going away. And this lady, okay, she went inside. And there is a water buffalo tied to a stick. And the water buffalo saw her master and said, boom! And she recognized the water buffalo. And immediately she collected it. You see, God orders the steps of the righteous one. God will never let you down. God's children will never be let down. You know, God never allows you to be ashamed of the things. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, there are so many things happened in my life. So, I'm sharing these things. So, one day, that may be the, because you are, you'll wave your hands. So, I want to go further. But with with one more. One day, we are in the chair, we are on the Sunday, two. If you don't wave your hands, or I close with one. One day on the Sunday, I was in the church and one girl came, Hema, her name. She is renting a house in a family. And she came to me and told, Pastor, there is a one man, the house owner where I am living, he is suffering with AIDS, HIV positive. He was in the hospital. At the doctors, he was not eating and not drinking water. And the doctor said he will die in 3 days. So they asked the family members to take the man back to their home. So they brought her. And I asked the wife of that man, Sachinarna, his name, his wife. I asked her, I told her like this, God is doing great things in our church. Shall I bring my pastor to pray over this man, her husband? And she said, I don't care whoever comes and prays for my husband. I want my husband to survive. So this girl came and told me, so I told her, her like that, and would you please come and pray for that man? Okay, I said, I'll come. You know, generally I pray for anybody. And after the church service, myself, my wife, and some of the church elders, we wanted to go and inform the people that told this girl, Hema, that after the church, after we all will come, so inform the family. She, the Sachinarna's wife, the victim who is suffering with HIV, his wife called all her relatives. And they were there by the time we went there. And the elders and my wife came and they went to the, you know, he was sleeping in a cot. And when they just went a little bit and saw him, he was not eating, not drinking. He was a skeleton. He was shrinked down, only bones and skin. Everything went. And he was like a skeleton lying on the bed, and they were so scared, they ran away from him. And then I went, I saw him, I was also scared, and especially he is a HIV positive fellow, and you know, but because I am a pastor, I have to go. That's the big problem with the pastors. We have to go. Nobody likes, but we have to go. So I went to him, and I sat next to the cot, and I saw all the Hindu pictures they have, all the gods of Hindu gods. So I thought I should tell them the reality. It's something embarrassing for them. So I called his wife, and I told her like this, you see, you called me to pray for this man. I will pray, but nothing will happen. It's Jesus Christ who has to touch him. You are worshiping your gods. If you get blessing from your gods, keep them, worship them. If you are not getting blessings or anything from your gods, then you have to only ask Lord Jesus Christ to come and touch him and heal him. Jesus Christ is such a God who never compromises with other gods. Either you have to worship Jesus or you worship your own gods. And I said, because you called me, I'll pray for him. And I put my hands on him and prayed for him, and we went. And on the third day, the doctor said, by third day he will die. But he did not die by the third day, and again they asked me to come. I went, and then I asked for some rice, and they brought, I prayed for this much, because he was not eating, we had to push them, saw that. So I prayed over this much of rice and put into his mouth, and I prayed over this much of water and poured into his mouth, and went away. By the 15th day, he was completely healed. He went to the workshop. Yes. He went to the workshop. He did his work. He came to the church with his two children and his wife. And he testified. He's a living testimony, because we went there. And he testified. And he said, God has done great things in my life. He gave me life. So I have to do something for the Lord. And he has a piece of land which he bought to buy, to build his house. He brought all the title deeds. Because God gave me life, I'm giving the plot what I have bought to buy, build my house. And he donated that to the church, where we have constructed a church now. The land speaks that God has healed people. Hallelujah. So, God has done marvelous things in my life because of this type of miracles and this type of answer to prayers. So many answers to prayers. The people saw what is happening in the church, and they started to come. They started to join the church. And we have now we have 800 people attend the church service on Sundays. We have three services, and also we planted 50 churches at different places, and we have taken orphans and destitute children, and we are taking care of 225 children in different places. We conduct crusades and seminars and so many things, and thousands and thousands of people are coming to the Lord. And I testify, God made me. You know, one time I was a banker living for my own life, and God changed my life, and he made me a servant of the Lord, and he made me a blessing to many, many people, because on one afternoon, one young man had the courage to hold on to my hand and take me inside and tell me the story of Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We should have courage to tell about Jesus. Amen. We should be bold enough to testify the name of Lord Jesus Christ. He is a God who will accomplish the things which we can never imagine. God has, I just shared you with a few things what happened in my life. God has, even the dead in my life, the dead has been raised, and one day I'm okay, nobody to raise the hands on one condition. Hallelujah. You know, one day I was getting ready for the evening service. It was evening, and my wife was just outside the, you know, out. Our house is downstairs, the church is upstairs. So my wife was in the just outside the home, and a group of people came to the church. They were crossing over the church. Our church is right on the highway. They were going away, but they saw the church, and somebody said, God has done many things in this church. Let us go and ask the pastor to pray for this little fellow. So they brought him inside, and there was a table outside. My wife asked they asked them, why did you come? And they said, this boy, we want pastor to come and pray for this boy. So they laid, my wife asked him to put him on the table in the front open air. And she asked me to come, and I went there. He was there lying like that. And I put my hands and I started to pray. What happened? That fellow from a high-storied building, he fall down. And that was a little boy of 2 years' age. And they took him to the nearby hospital. And the doctor verified, and he was scared to say that he was dead. So that doctor said, take him to the bigger hospital. So they took him to the bigger hospital, and the doctors there verified, and they said, he is dead, take him away and bury, cremate him. So they were taking him, you know, carrying on the shoulder. You know, in India, anything happen, a bunch of people, the relatives will come. The community people will come. So that's what, all about 15, 20 people went to the hospital and they were walking across our church, because our church is right on the highway. And they were just crossed, and then somebody said, let us take to the pastor and ask him to pray. So they brought him, and I was not knowing that that fellow was a dead fellow, declared by the doctors as a dead body. And so, you know, people come for prayers. I don't hesitate. I put my hand, even on the devil also, in the name of Jesus Christ, go to hell. I say the devil like that. So I put my hand on everybody and I pray. And that boy was lying on the table. I put my hands, and always I pray like this. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whatever the problems, whatever the troubles, whatever the disease, let it go in the name of Jesus. I take the authority and I say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you demonic powers, you powers of darkness, you have no authority on the child of God. And I say, in the name of Jesus, go and be healed. So when I was praying, that fellow was putting, you know, they put the dead body like this and the head was like this. And he turned the head like this. And these people started to beat their chest. Oh, we know there is a God. Oh, we know. Oh, then they started to shout. And I thought this way, you know, village people, uneducated people, they always shout like that. So my wife brought some milk and some water. We poured a little bit in the mouth and he drank. He got up. He wake up. And they started to beat the chest and all that. And they had grandmama was there, because the mommy was fainted at home. She was at home. She didn't come. Grandmommy and all the relatives. And she was carrying, and this fellow was, you know, he didn't eat and anything. He was weak. And I saw them, and these uneducated people will be like that. And I told that grandmommy, come to the church service. We have church service now. Because what I believe, there is a healing in the presence of the Lord. When we have problems, when we are sick, when we have troubles, let the person come here and stand in the presence of the Lord. And I believe God will touch them. So I told grandmommy, bring that fellow to the church. After the church service, take him home. He will be all right. And so she took and she came and she sat just before me with the little baby, and there was a church service. And this news went to the street. And people from the street, one after the other, they came from the back door, all the way they walked. They come and see that little fellow and go back. And I was surprised. Why did these people are coming? Because I don't know that fellow was a dead body. So it never happened. So people come, see that boy, and go away. And after the, you know, service, I called this lady and asked her, why people are coming like that to see you and that little fellow? And that woman said, oh, Pastor, you don't know. This fellow was a dead man. And I was surprised. You know, God is a great God. Hallelujah. God is a wonderful God. Hallelujah. Anywhere, anytime. In Canada, I prayed for people. A tall man, he was completely, addicted with, marijuana and all that. He was more than 6 feet high. I have to put my hand like that. And he was the last man. I prayed for many people in Montreal. And he was hesitating to come to me. Everybody went, but he didn't come. And the pastor said, oh, go and have your prayers, and encouraged him to come, and he came. And when he stood, I put my hand, and suddenly he fell down. And after that, a few minutes, he got up, and he started to say, what happened to me? What happened to me? Why did I fall like that? You know, anywhere, he's a God. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. He's a God in India, God in Pakistan, God in China, God in Montreal, and God in USA. He's the same God. He wants to touch his people. He wants to encourage his children. He wants to bless his people. And today, my message, let the Lord of Abraham bless you. Let the Lord Jesus Christ touch you. Let the healing virtue of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit flow through you. Let you rise up, arise, and walk into the streets like a living witness, as if this man who walked into the villages and he lived a living witness, so that Jairus, so that the women with the issue of blood, many, many people saw and they looked back. Oh Lord, if Jesus comes back to this village, it will be a blessing. They were looking for Jesus to come back. And that's the reason why Jesus has come back to that village. And the verses here says it like this. From the book of Mark chapter 5 and verses 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. You know, he crossed back again because there are so many people. One time they rejected. They said, go away. But now they saw one witness. They were looking for Jesus Christ. We want him. We have our problems. We have our sufferings. We have no peace. We have no hope. We want him so that he will come and redeem us. Hallelujah. Jesus is such a God. If you ask him to come, he will come and bless you. Let the Lord bless you. Amen. Amen. Amen.